Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok, and this is another edition of News and Cues, but I'm not alone because this man's here.
I am Joseph Scrimshaw, and I am here.
I started to do the roll. I just started rolling right into like a Star Wars ranked.
Oh, man. I understand. We record many different shows, and we have slowly but surely developed a different little intro patterns. Yeah. And it is easy on a Monday morning to go, hi, this is Four Center, and which show am I doing? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ken and Joseph are here to do the dance through Star Wars news. That's what we'll be doing today. Catching up, great questions, all those things. Before we get to all that, let's just dive into the sponsors for today's episode. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll do our 4center recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us, but we're not done there.
That is right. We have another offer. It is from Insight Editions. They publish a bunch of great Star Wars books. Insight Editions is offering 35% off across their website with this special Force Center code. You can get your discount by entering the code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. We are still recommending a book that's going to be coming out not that long from now, May 4th. It is Star Wars Galactic Baking. It is full of a bunch of great recipes that are Star Wars themed. Some that look so simple that I could make them without actually burning or hurting myself, and others that are just complex, beautiful works of art that I would destroy my entire apartment building if I tried to make. But I'm sure skilled bakers can make them and chefs can make them no problem. You should check it out on what you could make with Star Wars Galactic Baking with that code FC35.
FC35 indeed. And you know what? If you end up getting this fine book, even if you don't use our code, you should, and you bake it and you cook it and it's successful, send us a picture on Twitter and we'll tell the world how good of a Star Wars chef or cook or baker you are.
Yeah, let's see them Puffer Pig pizza puffs.
Let's see them and let's eat them. We like to catch up with ourselves, Star Wars and life adventures. Always busy times. It's always the conversation is always like, how busy were you? Did that affect your Star Wars time? just the way the world is right now. Joseph, how was your Star Wars time and lifetime?
My Star Wars time was pretty good. This was a week where, for the most part, my Star Wars time was stuff that I delighted in doing, but it was to prep for Force Center. In particular, this coming Thursday, the deep dive episode this week, we are diving into the 2D micro series Clone Wars, that original version of Clone Wars being animated that came out in the early 2000s between Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. They've got it broken up into two volumes on Disney Plus, so that's the way we're discussing it. We're discussing the first volume 1 week, and then the next week we'll discuss the second volume. So I had a ton of fun revisiting that. I won't give any spoilers, Ken, on my reaction. In general, you know, good, real fun Star Wars. But that was really, really fun because it wasn't just watching Star Wars, you know, to prepare for the podcast. You know, for me, going back to that prequel era in my life and almost having like that sense memory of where I sat in my old apartment watching those back in the day. It was a little bit of a Star Wars and life adventure at the same time because I was enjoying watching it, but it was a little bit of a time travel as well. And then I thought, wow, the week was wearing on. It was Saturday night and I was thinking like, I gotta have some kind of Star Wars adventure. Or else I'll just have to go buy an action figure so I have something to talk about. And my wife and I went for a walk, and my wife is very, very careful about being polite in public.
Sure.
So sometimes I really have to read her clues. Like, she doesn't like to point. So she'll, yeah, like, do a head nod. So she, like, nudged me and, like, head nodding at, like, some people down the way from us on our walk. And I was like, what are they? Does she think, is she concerned about them? Are they going to rob us? What's going on? And then I noticed just peeking out of the person's backpack was Grogu just staring at us on our walk. And that was very, very nice to see. So seeing Grogu in the wild, another Grogu in the wild, was my real Star Wars adventure this week.
Well, I think we've also learned your wife, Sarah, would be an excellent rebel informant just walking around.
Yeah, she just gives a little nod like Lando in disguise in Jabba's palace.
Look, I, as someone who spent many years training some roughnecks not to point when giving directions at a mall or a shopping center, instead use the Disney full hand wave, I respect the not pointing in in public role.
Oh, yeah. No, and I mean, the tour guide arm, my wife and I are quite good at having been tour guides. So if she'd done the full tour guide arm, she could have knocked the guy down from a block away with that power.
What do you mean we can't point? Oh, see, you're almost proving what I'm saying.
Picture them pointing at you while telling you, I can point.
Usually ends up with me pointing to them, but you're going to do it. stay out of the Woolworths. So that's you and I, Thursday's discussion on the Clone War microseries is going to be wonderful, interesting, fun, and probably similar because I think we're going to use that term sense memory a lot. I was down to feeling the chair I used to sit in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hell of a thing how it can transport you. Because I have watched it since then. I watched it a couple of years ago on YouTube, but I think there was something different about just really hunkering down to watch it that you just sparked all those memories.
Many memories indeed. Well, over on this side, nothing too much. Similar experience with the Clone Wars, a lot of work, but I had a little moment, and I don't mean to spring a test on you. I want to get your thoughts here. This is one of those fun things. So I have have a home gym in my garage here. Wonderful setup. Fortunate to have it. Got a nice little Bluetooth speaker to play some music in, and I iTunes shuffle or whatever they call it, Apple Music, the shuffle through my playlist. So occasionally a Star Wars song will pop in, like John Williams music, John Powell. I have the solo thing on there. Cloud Riders music, great to work out to. The Ewok Celebration came up, the old classic, Yub Nub.
Oh, wow. And
you want to get your, blood pumping for a workout. Doom, ba-doom, boom. It start. You feel good. You feel good. And listen to the song as I'm working on. And the end chorus of that part before it goes into the medley of themes in the roll credits.
Yeah.
I think I have spent most of my life singing along incorrectly. I think I just, well, all right, let me do this. How does that end? Does that song end Celebrate the Love or Celebrate with Us, Joseph?
I always heard Celebrate with Us. But I mean, Celebrate the Love makes more sense. But I always heard Celebrate with Us. And this is one of those Star Wars things that I have never examined. I've never tried to figure out. I don't think I've ever had this conversation of like, I don't know. I've never even turned to a human that I've watched this with and go, they're saying Celebrate with Us, right? This is the first time I've had this conversation. That's the way I've always heard it.
This is where I wish Jen was here with us. Yes, you are correct. You and I have heard it the same way. Celebrate with us. Boom, celebrate boom. With us. Boom, no, boom. It's Celebrate the Love. Celebrate the Love. Because I, too, 40 plus years of watching this stuff, I never thought about it. I never thought. And then the song kind of gets phased out, at least in terms of the movie. So you don't think about it as much unless you seek out the Ewok Celebration, which you all should. Yeah. So, yeah, I looked it up. I'm on the, Wikipedia. I also just did a general search. And yeah, it's Celebrate the Love. Celebrate the Love. It does say, I think there's some translations. The Choti Cha Tu Gu To Do To Tu is Celebrate the Light, Celebrate the Might, Celebrate the Fight, Celebrate the Love.
All right. Those Ewoks go hard. That's some intense lyrics.
Celebrate the might of the Ewok Empire.
Celebrate thrusting your spear into the gut of the enemy and feeling the viscera drain around your paws.
So, you know what? And again, I think we've a couple times, Jen Landa probably has these memorized, but the English translation, and this sent me down the rabbit hole. It's freedom. We got freedom. And now that we can be free, come on and celebrate. That's great. That's great. We built a city on rock and roll, man. That's great.
It really does sound like the lyrics for a Lionel Richie song from 83, right?
Yes. Yes, it really does. Here's the second verse, the second stanza. Power. We got power. And now that we can be free, it's time to celebrate. Celebrate the freedom. Celebrate the power. Celebrate the glory. Celebrate the love. We're still learning Ewokese, still speaking Ewok here. So Celebrate the Love is the only thing that kind of flows out into Galaxy Basic before it hits the credits. I've never, glory, we found glory. The power showed us the light, and now we all live free. I mean, this is a powerful song.
Yeah, no, really. Yeah, now I just want to hear like an absolute 80s medley of this, I want Pat Benatar on this. I want just every 80s star.
Y'all know if you've listened to me other spots, I am obsessed with the 80s big group charity songs. So I want a Springsteen We Are the World kind of chorus belt here. I want Aykroyd dancing in the background. Let's do that.
We are the Ewoks. Yeah.
That was my Star Wars adventure. Took a dive into a song that I love, a song that for years I've been singing along to, but I guess not really.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is really beyond just Celebrate With Us versus Celebrate the Love. It's powerful to know exactly what statement those Ewoks are singing.
Yeah. And don't underestimate the Ewoks. So, and again, a lot of you listening out there are probably like, oh yeah, I have these lyrics tattooed on my arm or totally. But like Joseph said, like it's just, there's just so many parts in the Star Wars galaxy to, you know, focus on, to laser focus, especially if you're studying for trivia shows. I've never gone down. And I just this weekend, just suddenly was like, wait a minute, I think I'm saying that wrong.
Did you hear it differently or did you just question your ears?
I heard it differently for the first time. I don't know what it was. The acoustics in the old 1920 garage I work out in that was built 100 years ago. I don't know. Because I was singing along, kind of mumbling to myself. Grace was in there too. She was like hanging stuff up. So I wasn't like, you know, I didn't want to, you know, and I have the life, that life-size Ewok I have from the great folks at Tree of Endor is in the, it's there with me.
Oh, so, it's in the garage watching you work out.
Watching, yeah. Wicket spots me. So I now I'm like, I was the spirit of Wicket present in the room.
And get the damn lyrics right.
Oh, could you sing it right?
Yeah. Wow. That's really, I mean, Celebrate the Love makes perfect sense. Celebrate with us. I think though, maybe I wanted to hear it that way because I wanted to be invited to join the party. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, my final thing, we're going to do an hour on this song. Celebrate with us works for me because it almost is like, they're like, everyone get over here. Luke's showing up. Wedge is showing up. Lando, like, come on, celebrate. I think that's probably how I took it as a kid growing up. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll do a deep dive. I think we got a question actually coming up about misheard things in Star Wars, and this might be the best. So we'll have a chance
to
revisit this.
From the bottom of my heart. From there, we're going to go to Star Wars news. Some late breaking news as of our recording. And I wouldn't call it, it was some great information, but I wouldn't call it giant earth-shattering news. A lot of things we already new. Joseph, I'll just kind of go through this here. First details of the next wave of Star Wars The High Republic stories revealed exclusive on StarWars.com. This is what they're calling Phase 1, Wave 2 of the multi-platform epic. So there you go. I don't know if that, I'd never heard that before. I think we've been calling it kind of Phase 1 and Phase 2 and all that kind of stuff. But Phase 1, Wave 2. It's like a Bible verse, Joseph.
Very happy to have the clear delineation.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, no need to linger too much. We got the High Republic number 6 on the way. We got the Star Wars Insider 203, Hidden Danger Part 1. This is that serialized fiction story they got from Justina Ireland. We got Rising Storm, which we already knew about, but kind of some stuff there. We're going to go into a little details. Daniel Jose Older and Race to Crash Point Tower, which is a new middle grade reader. Some more comic stuff from IDW, then Out of the Shadows, which is the YA novel from Justine Ireland. We just got last week the update of Tempest Runner by Kevin Scott, which is the audio drama. A manga called The Edge of Balance. Shinya and Justine Ireland wrote that one there. And then Showdown at the Fair is what I call the big reveal. It is a 8x8 storybook by George Mann. So that's kind of the titles, Joseph, but the big thing to focus on is that we got this kind of what I call a new shared event, which is the Republic Fair that Lorna Chancellor So is putting out there. And this is where a lot of things will maybe start happening, and we'll see it from different points of view, similar to the Great Disaster. So that's the overview, Joseph. Any thoughts, and what do you think about a Republic Fair?
Yeah. Scrolling through this, I think maybe this information was released about the Rising Storm, the next kind of a adult, novel. Kevin Scott, always weird to use that word adult, but you know what I mean. And I had not heard before that the Republic Fair on the Starlight Beacon was kind of the center of that novel. And it makes sense to me if they keep using the adult novels to, like they did the Light of the Jedi, to tell kind of like the main event, and then all the other storytelling is kind of around that. But I love this idea of a fair. It is just kind of a perfect way to advance that, this idea of we are all the Republic, and that the point of the Starlight Beacon is to reach out and expand the Republic and go to all these worlds that are more remote and say, look, it's not just that we're going to send you medical help. It's not just that we're going to, you know, have Jedi out here to come running if pirates attack you. This is not just like a functional relationship that we want. This is an emotional relationship that we want. Of we want you to be part of the Republic. We want an exchange of culture and ideas and clothes and food and music. I really love that because it is a great storytelling beat. It's a great contrast to the disaster bringing everybody together before. This is a attempt at a non-disaster. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, I think the big thing for me that I like about this is I like any moment in fiction in general, but in particular Star Wars that has such heart. Star Wars celebrates the love, as you've maybe heard in an Ewok song. The storytelling, particularly in movies, can be so fast-paced and so conflict-oriented of let's resolve the conflict,
right,
that you sometimes don't have room to celebrate. But this is an example of what we fight for. You know, mm-hmm. we've all talked about it, you and Jennifer and I, about loving the Akiaki Festival of the Ancestors.
Right.
Because it is this brief picture of, like, that's the galaxy that they're fighting for, of just people having culture and joy and connection and celebration. That's the galaxy at peace. So the idea of really highlighting this during this golden age, that of course the Republic doesn't just want to be like, we'll have an exchange of goods, we'll protect you in an exchange, you'll join our Republic. It's an actual reaching out of who are you? How can we get to know one another truly, deeply, culturally? I love all of it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this idea, and just reading it, really quickly here this morning, it jumped out. And oh, by the way, I'm fully aware I said Lorna So, which is Lorna D and Lena So combined. But Lena So, let's get that right, Kat. I love this idea. Yeah, World's Fair jumps to mind of what 34 and beyond, and all those kind of things. And we talked a lot about the backdrop of High Republic, kind of is this, JFK. Camelot-y kind of a modern America, or whatever you want to say, or modern world. And that's been a wonderful driving force in the story so far, beyond just the action. So to have that greater meaning and explore what that means for this galaxy and what we can take about it, take from it and put into our world of like you said, celebrating what we're doing, celebrating, reminding you why, recovery from the trauma, the great disaster. How do we move forward and move forward as a society? All this kind of big, those are big themes, and just boiling it down into a Republic Fair is a really interesting idea, and gives me, continued confidence in what this series is trying to do on all angles. It's small, it's intimate, it's a little children's story of kids running to save the day at the fair. And then it's the big government picture of how do we really drive home that we are one, and how do we show that? How do we celebrate that? I love that. I think they're playing with a full deck of cards there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, great, great drama to have people at the fair opening themselves up to going, okay, it's frightening to trust others. It's frightening to kind of share what makes us who we are as a culture. And then here comes the Nile, who have the viewpoint of, you're an idiot if you ever trust anybody. You don't own anything. We take everything. Like, what a great way to accentuate that fear, to have people in that really vulnerable space emotionally.
Yeah, and then you got the Drengeer showing up thinking it's a farmer's market looking for meat. I think this is good.
Yep, some humans on a stick, just like the Minnesota State Fair.
I love that. And I love the Drengeer. So breaking news, we got to talk about it, which means tomorrow will probably be a new trilogy of movies. We'll figure that out. Next headline, War of the Bounty Hunters, the comic event that's forthcoming. Everyone's kind of getting excited for this. This is the comic event series where basically the pitch is Boba Fett's trying to get Han Solo back to Jabba, and problems ensue. Way to say it. So superstars on scene, Jabba the Hutt is getting a one-shot comic, and this has actually been written by Justina Ireland. It's coming out in July. Here's the synopsis. Jabba the Hutt, all caps, is one of the most powerful and ruthless gangsters in the galaxy. And Boba Fett, also all caps, his most trusted bounty hunter, has failed him. How will Jabba deal with the betrayal? Violently. And what does this have to do with the bounty hunter with the ties to the High Republic? Eh? Oh, there you go. So what do you think about that synopsis, Joseph?
Oh, very excited about that. I read the little article on StarWars.com, and man, I love the cover. I love the there's a fun variant, but the main cover, if I'm understanding it correctly, is this great picture of Boba Fett kind of looking like he is in action, almost a little off his guard, and then behind him, Jabba looming with almost like a Bela Lugosi Dracula hands, like you can see the strings. It's such a great and different image of Jabba. It is not sedentary Jabba just kind of sitting there waiting for someone to be paraded in front of him. It is Jabba kind of is a hut of action, of like it's this image of somebody who is pulling all the strings, who has the power, you know. The image, there's a lot of great art, but this one really grabbed me. This is like poster worthy.
Jabba on your wall. So Ireland is excited to write Jabba, saying something about, you know, that thing we probably have all said to ourselves at one point, of like, imagine telling your 12-year-old that you get to do this. 12-year-old self. She called him a, quote, perpetually underappreciated criminal mastermind. So let's talk Jabba. What do we think about being him, being underappreciated, maybe in story, but also in our real world, and a mastermind?
Yeah, I think Jabba is a beloved character, but I think sometimes that love can lean toward the, like, it's normal that we have fun with Star Wars characters, right?
And,
you know, who among us does not have an impression of Jabba's laugh, or like this weird and great ongoing one-off quote, right, Diego Luna wanting to touch Jabba. And now, like, he said it once, and that's all anybody will ask him about in interviews. Like, are you going to touch Jabba? Like, there's lots of fun things about Jabba that can become like fun meta jokes. But in the story of Star Wars, he is like an incredibly powerful gangster, right? The head of this incredibly powerful cabal, you know, he is the Godfather from the Godfather movies, right? And I think we get to see like a hint of that in the Clone Wars movie when, you know, the Jedi need his access to hyperspace routes. But then that's, you know, a little bit offset by the whole thing with Rata. We get a little bit of like Vader needing to go to him and not bend the knee, but that's certainly what Jabba wants. But we haven't had storytelling that really leans into, he is like Marlon Brando in space. He's the Godfather. He is someone who is to be feared because of their legitimate power of, you know, money and bounty hunters, but also just someone like, you are afraid of him because he has built himself into someone to be feared. You're afraid of his status, you know? We haven't had some storytelling that really leans into that.
See, what, you know, there's this desire for the story of Jabba's rise. We hear a lot in Guillermo del Toro. Had pitched that story from what we had heard and all that kind of stuff. And again, you mentioned Jennifer Lando loves Jabba the Hutt. We've mentioned Jennifer a few times today. Jennifer, if you're listening, call in about Jabba. but you know, you and I love Palpatine. We always talk, we do love Palpatine. We're not rooting for Palpatine, but we love Ian McDiarmid as Palpatine. We love the lessons you can learn from Palpatine or what not to do. I think it's okay to say, like, yeah, Palpatine's one of my favorite characters. Because he's the big bad, and there's some fascinating stuff to do. Jabba has that kind of appeal, and I think you're tapping into something there too, of just like analyzing it and presenting the story of this pretty vile gangster, as he's described, who sells a life of luxury or a life of riches or a, you know, the sense of freedom. But really, you know, because I was always fascinated. I was always a little terrified of Jabba and the Rancor and Jabba's palace as a kid. And the spider droid, as I now know, the Boromar monk coming up behind 3PO there. But I also was fascinated by, well, I don't know, everyone's having a good time. You know, I mean, yeah, with someone being sent to their death by the big lizard in the cave cave down below. But, you know, like, everyone there is believing the lie, even though they could be the one next, right? One move, they're down as Rancor food. And they're cheering. I used to get upset as a kid, like emotionally disturbed by everyone cheering about that poor Gamorrean guard.
Reese in particular, whoever was in that Reese costume was just so into the Rancor eating people.
Yes. And so to analyze just that whole world, because you mentioned the Godfather thing and the mafia and that kind of idea. I've always said I'm not a, I wouldn't call myself a huge criminal underworld Star Wars fan, but I'm always fascinated by what that means and what that faction is. When we did that faction conversation. So to analyze it with Jabba, because I bet you, sorry, I'm rambling about Jabba. I bet you he's the kind of guy that you're like, well, he's horrible. He's kind of fun at parties.
Yeah, like is his charm part of it, you know, because we've got lots of fun comedy moments. You know, we got the Jabba, you know, falling asleep. Apparently the pod race, he agreed with some of the critics. The pod race was too long, I guess, for Jabba, you know. So we've got a lot of fun comedy moments, you know, with Jabba. But, you know, and what he does in Return of the Jedi is, you know, it's terrifying. But it's balanced out a little bit by just how kind of weird and fascinating he is, I think. But I think really diving into that, like, yeah. This charming murderer and powerhouse of Jabba would be great.
So hopefully it could be coming. I don't know how or why. And, you know, as a movie, I understand that being a bit of a hard sell.
It's cool to think that Justina Ireland is interested, because that's why we're talking about it, because she's the one who brought this up in her discussion of this comic. If she's going to lean into not necessarily his rise, but, like, let's look at him of someone to be truly, deeply feared and why. I think the last thing for me, the reason that it's kind of exciting is Star Wars is so great at pulling in different genres and really putting them through the filter of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And if you take something that's, like, you know, classic gangster movies or more, you know, 70s, you know, Godfather or, you know, anything, Scorsese, you know, all these interesting questions rise up about Jabba. Of, you know, we got to see the Hutt Council in the Clone Wars, but why is Jabba so powerful now? Is he smarter? Is he more brutal? To your point, is he more charming? You know, is he more willing to sacrifice his soul? Does he do things that even other Hutts won't do? Those are kind of the questions, I think, like, at stake.
Yeah.
In great movies, like, you know, say Goodfellas, you know, and to bring some of that to Jabba is a really fascinating idea.
Hey, I'm still open to it. Guillermo del Toro telling the story of Jabba, or just everything going on and in Mos Eisley would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. From Jabba, the most vile gangster in the galaxy, to the happiest place on Earth. Headline reads, real lightsaber coming to Galaxy's Edge? ! So at the very end of a presentation titled A Special Look Inside Disney Parks, remember, they want you to return soon on April 30th. This past week, the chairman of Disney Parks and Experiences and Products, which, Joseph, to me sounds like a prequel era Star Wars title.
Absolutely. This was a member of the Separatists for sure.
Yeah. Josh D'Amaro unveiled a so-called real lightsaber. Now, there was a lot of press at the event, but this is one of those no pictures, no phone video, nothing, no screen captures, nothing. Cause I think it was a virtual event, mostly. So we only eyewitness tweets here, and I'm going to read some of them here in a second. This is, you know, allegedly real lightsaber, which I'm going to talk about the legacy of that desire. So Attractions Magazine tweeted, they just showed a real lightsaber. A lot of question marks. It's hard to tell what it's made of or how it works. It was sticking up a bit, then raised all the way as it was making the turning on sound. Once up, it looked similar to lightsabers they sell now, but the hilt looked a little larger. We weren't allowed to record it. They were asked to clarify. He closed out the event by turning on Luke's lightsaber with the laser sword coming out of the emitter in person and said it's real, and then ended. Just no questions. That's it. That's all you got. Another one says, I love this one. This is Ashley Carter. Ashley L. Carter 1, if you want to follow her. Disney Parks Chairman Josh D'Amaro did a mic drop at the end of the virtual press conference with a real lightsaber. It happened so fast, I'm shaking. That one actually got me excited. and goes on and on to describe it. So the details on how it works and everything and what's going on, you know, that's maybe a minute, mundane discussion, but I just want to go to you and I talk a lot about the emotions of loving Star Wars, Joseph, and our experiences. And we all got different experiences and different amounts of years in that experience resume. Doesn't matter. We're all kids at heart loving this thing. What is the kid in you think of this news?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just kind of like the endless dream of Star Wars. It is the magic of that initial scene with a lightsaber, right? Of Obi-Wan Kenobi giving it to Luke Skywalker and explaining what it is. Star Wars is this great fantasy that's grounded in reality. And I think mm-hmm. the natural reaction to that is to want to bring that fantasy into reality and to just experience that, right? I mean, I think it's the heart of everything from lightsaber kid who filmed themselves, you know, pretending to have Darth Maul's lightsaber to, you know, when I was a kid, I've told this story before, we saw the, you know, not great toy lightsabers that are available back in the day. And I misread the sticker. I thought it said $1.99. And my dad went to pick them up and he's like, no, they're $7.99. We can't get them, kid. But he gave me his flashlight and my brother and I turned the lights off in our room. And we made do with flashlights, you know.
First of all, I love that your dad was Force Awakens Han Solo. It's just-
pretty much. It's just, I've also told this story before, but these are the flood of things that come to mind. I have a good friend who's a great musician in Minneapolis, and we bonded over our love of Star Wars, and he mm-hmm. had to go through a medical procedure. And when he came out of it, he was stressed out, and his wife said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he said, "Where's my lightsaber? I need my lightsaber." And his wife was not a nerd, and she wasn't exactly sure what he was saying. She's like, What are you talking about? And he's like, "My lightsaber. It is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. I need it." Like, buried so deep in his soul that's what came out, right? Yeah. Wow. I just think there's something about the lightsaber in particular that is just this mm-hmm. absolute, you know, endowed object of the fantasy of Star Wars. And mm-hmm. and I think everybody wants to experience having a hilt in their hand and just having it burst into life, right? Because it's the fantasy made as close to reality as is safe.
I mean, it's a Force Center well said, sir, because it's so true. It's part of the genius, I think, of George putting that out there and those who designed it and the entire team behind making it in the movies and making it look so cool. Because, yeah, you're like I've said before, I've written before, and I'll say it for the rest of my life. We are all Star Wars, kid. We are all that person in a room going zoom, 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 and pew, pew, pew. And I read this headline, and normally I was Ashley Carter going, "I'm shaking. What? They finally done it. They've done it. So the other side of that, though, Joseph, is this question. What does the adult who knows the price tag think of this? And follow up for you specifically, Joseph, as someone who has already purchased one of these at Galaxy's Edge, the ones that you can buy now, will you get this one as well?
Yeah, I think the adult reaction is I definitely want to see it. I want to see how close it gets to the fantasy, right? Because the one that I have now, you know, it lights up, but you know the tube's always there unless you mm-hmm. unscrew the tube that holds the light, you know. And I remember feeling like an insane advance when they could make the toy lightsabers that you know telescope the plastic blade all the way down so you could get kind of close, you know. So I don't know if I'll run out and buy this one unless it really, really works. Like, there's a part of me that, like, I need to see it. If it works and gives that feeling that I've always wanted of the total, mm-hmm. then I'll go for it. I might wait for the second edition when the technology is slightly improved.
Yeah.
Also, it entirely depends on the experience. Obviously, they'll sell these at Galaxy's Edge, and I love the lightsaber that I made. I really love it aesthetically, but the big part of that was the experience, that story that they have written mm-hmm. in the effects and the environment is so well told to make you feel like you are making something sacred. And if you really let yourself lean into that story, the experience of making it is a huge part of the power. So it depends on if getting this one would be just, you know, walking up to a Disney employee and saying, "Here is $700 or whatever it's going to cost," versus is it an experience like the current version they have?
Yeah, see, I have not experienced the current build process. I know you have, and you speak highly of it. Alex and Molly Damon speak highly of it, and anyone I've heard who's done it, it's been like, it's pretty darn cool. So I'm there for it. I want them to add it with this one. I want to like put the crystal in, and I want to go up on some platform ice cave facade, and I want to light it, and I want to look like Luke on the poster for New Hope. You are describing me with Bigfoot, sir. Like, I really want this. I am skeptical until it's dancing with me at a campfire.
Yeah, yeah. And you are pitching an experience that would be great, because if it's too complex and you can't make it, they managed to make the initial reveal of your blade, pretty special. But if it is a thing where you just have to buy it, it'd be great to have it be like every single person who buys one of these steps into like a video booth and you get the video of yourself igniting it for the first time. That might be enough.
That might be enough. Well, if not, we'll make it ourselves.
Exactly.
So there you go. When it's when the parks are open and you feel safe and secure and are concerned about other people's health as well, head on out to the park and buy yourself a real lightsaber at one point in time. Final story of the day: Hasbro Fan Fest was recently end of last week, and we got some reveals. Many new figures, a lot of new figures. Instead of me just running on down, Joseph, let's just, what are some of your favorite figures and things that you want to go there? Because we got Black Series 6-inch vintage, 3 3/4. I know you a lot of times focus on that, but where does your heart take you with this list?
Yeah, for the Black Series, I was really happy to see the variety of eras. Super excited to see Aura Sing. I think just because you and I have just been watching some of those great Clone Wars episodes, she's so well designed. I really like seeing from The Mandalorian Q90. There's something about the design of that droid that is very evocative of the droids from the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back. So those were the ones that grabbed me from Black Series. But man, the vintage had some good ones. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the Ackbar with the data pad.
Yes.
I like any action figure that makes the word action feel kind of ironic. The Ackbar checks his email action figure. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And then from all the years of now of discussing action figures, another thing that I love is the attempt to find, is there a microsecond of film that is a new version of Luke, Han, or Leia we can possibly make?
Yeah.
And when I saw Hoth Luke, I was like, yeah, no, there's been a bunch of great Hoth Lukes. Okay. I didn't realize that he came with specifically Stumbling to Survive scarf, that he comes with this scarf that's wrapped around his face as he's trying to walk alone through Hoth. And, I have had Stumbling to Survive scarf on my face in Minnesota in reality. So that utter specificity of Hoth Luke with a Stumbling to Survive scarf really grabbed me.
That's a good call, sir. That's a good call. For me, you mentioned Aura Sing. It's absolutely for me. And I've always loved Aura Sing as a little cameo character. I know a friend, Van William, loves Aura Sing as well. But with you and I diving in on Clone Wars, I saw that. I got really excited. I just think, it's a character that has a bit of a cult following anyway. And to put her out there in a brand new kind of flashy figure, I'm excited about that one. I still, I've stopped collecting. I really don't. I don't get these anymore. I might be room in my plastic storage box for this one. I'll see what happens when I see it on the rack at a store.
You'll see the will of the Force.
Yeah. Yeah. I turned the corner, did the old toy aisle search at my little mini Target nearby me the other day. And the only thing they had was the 3 3/4 Greef Karga. And, I just love Greef. I love Carl Weathers. So it's like, I need to support both of these people, Carl Weathers and Greef Karga. The price tag was a little too high for a 3 3/4 figure that's going to go straight into my plastic storage boxes. I also love the Emperor's Royal Guard. I love those overall. Anyways, the vintage line looks good. And this one has a lot of stuff and you can take it apart. And they didn't name it as a specific character. I know there's a lot of different Royal Guards characters in Legends, but it's a nice bearded gentleman ready to defend Palpatine to death.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. Yeah, I'm having to be really choosy right now about which ones I get just out of space.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Space indeed. And the final one for me, I just love this guy. We talked about Rogue One recently, General Antok Merrick, Blue Leader. He's got one. This is another one too. Like with that mustache, I might need to have that in figure form. I just really like this character, and it kind of is in keeping with that Star Wars tradition we always talk about of microsecond of film, or that character in the background, the one out of the spotlight. Though General Merrick does have some real good spotlighty moments. So I might be picking up that one. That's in the vintage collection there.
Yeah, with that amazing X-Wing. Really yes. well-designed X-Wing. Yeah, right. Just two others for me real quick is that they're putting out that a bunch of vintage in the video game line.
Yeah.
You know, I've never played all the way through Force Unleashed, but that Shadow Stormtrooper is just cool mm-hmm. looking. Mm-hmm. But the one I wanted to be sure to mention, because we've gone on a journey with it here on Force Center, is from Battlefront 2, the Heavy Battle Droid.
Yes.
Heavy is a class that I've played a lot. So when I see that action figure, it's like, oh, that's me playing the video game. I have to. That's an action figure of me practically.
You just touched on something there. Like, cause yeah, Heavy is my class as well. It's those grenades. Launch yep. those grenades. Yeah. If they were to release a whole class of figures pack, I might have to buy the Heavies. So I might have to start with the droid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I have long since gotten over any grumpiness about the battle droids, but mm-hmm. playing them so much in Battlefront 2 has made me really like them. And I don't know that I've ever had a battle droid action figure. So this might mm-hmm. be the one.
There you go. I think I got the Phantom Menace once, but that's about it.
Yeah, I probably did too. I can't even remember these days.
See, you were dealing with some droids issues back then. the final reveal in this one, we're going to take a second to talk about it. We have got the replica, life-size replica, Wedge Antilles pilot helmet. This is that classic kind of dark green, the yellow and black lettering and symbols on it. Man, this looks cool. All these helmets, all the helmet stuff. I don't own any of them. If I did, I'd probably try to wear them while driving in my car, and I don't know if that's safe. This one looks good. I want to chat a little bit just about Wedge and modern canon, Joseph. Are you going to grab the Wedge helmet, and what do you think about old Wedge?
Yeah, no, I can't. I cannot go down the road of helmets. I'm already running out of room. Mm-hmm. For books and toys, I cannot begin the helmet journey. But yeah, I think Wedge is just such a fascinating character. He obviously has like a ton of fans, and I think maybe there's something kind of special about him because he is, at least from my perspective of growing up with the original trilogy, he is like the original major minor character.
Yeah,
you know, the original character that people who are just like, yeah, I saw all three of those movies, Darth Vader, I'm your father, I get it, Star Wars. Like, yep. Those kind of just casual viewers don't know who Wedge Antilles is, but anybody who had those, you know, VHS tapes and watched him, like, he was the kind of the first trivia you ever learned, right? That the one other pilot who survived, it's Wedge Antilles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, you know, I think he has been kind of this symbol for the rebel pilot who is a rebel pilot, period, you know?
Yeah.
He's not Han. He's not Luke with Force abilities. He is the rebel pilot. And then just, you know, I think he's been kind of reintroduced all sorts of eras from the X-Wing Squadron's books to, you know, I made a more of an attachment getting to be him during a lot of the missions of the Rogue Squadron video games, right. You know, then Rebels, then his appearances in Aftermath and Resistance Reborn, the random middle-aged man that we all get to scream for in Rise of Skywalker. You know, he's appeared in lots of different places. So for being like this kind of original major minor character, has really walked with Star Wars through the generations.
I think one of the, you're so right about the different generations, different eras, the first that you kind of knew that name, you're so right about that. He was the first Star Wars trivia question. But Legends, you know, he reached a new level for a lot of folks. And I even remember reading some of the Empire stuff. It's like he started getting his due. And yeah. The new era comes along, and I think right from the, you know, gets his due in Aftermath. I think I love his stuff in Aftermath. You know, but him not popping up in 7 and may or may not have something to do with Dennis Lawson not wanting to do it or whatever the stories are. I don't even know what's true anymore about that story. He finally comes around in 9 and gets a little moment, which I love, and I think it's great. But yeah, and he's in Rebels, right? He pops up in Rebels. Resistance Reborn, like you said. I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more about Wedge. Wouldn't mind a little more Wedge content. Just kind of paying homage to the original guy who kind of broke out of the second tier, so to speak, like you said. So, yeah, give me some more Wedge. And this might be a good start.
Yeah. I think you said the magic phrase for at least some of the Wedge love of he got his due. I think maybe that's it, is he is the guy who is not from royalty. He's not the charming rogue Han. He's not, you know, gifted with the Force. So we can really project on him. We can really be like, he's the everyday person who gets to be just as cool. Like I did a very early in my doing comedy about Star Wars career sketch where it was just Wedge running for government, and his stump speech was basically like, I did a lot of stuff too. And I think a lot of people have stories or relationships with Wedge like that, of like, he's the guy who's always like, come on, he might not be one of the big three, but he's a big deal. Give him his due.
Yeah. It's why I just have always loved him getting promoted in Return of the Jedi and getting to say Lockass foil attack position. It means a lot to me. It meant a lot as a Wedge fan. So yeah, there you go. Wedge and Tilly's gets his due. A new Star Wars story coming soon. Might start with a summon. All right, that is a look at Star Wars news. We're going to take a quick break in a second to come back with your questions. But Joseph, first, we have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we want all everyone out there listening to try on us.
That is right. This week we are recommending Rebel Rising by Beth Revis. It is an older book, but damn, it still checks out. The reason we're recommending it is we recently did a deep dive episode looking back on Rogue One, and we had a lot of good things to say about this book as always. I think it's still one that Star Wars fans haven't read as much, so just really wanted to highlight it. It's one of my absolute favorites of the new canon, Rebel Rising.
Oh, it is so good. I was on a live stream recently and someone in chat said they just started reading it for the first time and I got jealous. They got to experience it again or experience it for the first time. Download your free audiobook today, that one or anyone, at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. We'll reset. I'm going to come back with your questions here on Force Center.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Force Center. We are here on our main show, the News and Cues episode, which means, Joseph, we need some cues. What do we got today?
That's right. We got two questions from Twitter and two questions from our patrons on Patreon. As always, we're going to go first to Twitter and Gareth Vader. Great handle there. Gareth Vader says, I often think about how particular Star Wars quotes have an impact on us. Obi-Wan saying, who is the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him, for example? Since the 1980s, that quote has always stuck with me, be it in the playground or now in everyday life. What quotes have stuck with you? Ken, I love the way Gareth asked this question of those quotes that stick with you that are both for the depth, but maybe also just because they, you know, have purpose in everyday life. What kind of quotes like that stick with you?
Yeah. And so I specifically only went to original trilogy for this. There's ones from every movie and everyone knows that I'll yell, what is she proposing? Just whatever. I'll yell it in the streets. I just love it so much in Rogue One. But I went to the original trilogy to I think really capture the spirit of Gareth Vader's question for me of just like, what is like my entire life stuck with me? So here's what I came up with. First I'll start with the kind of, it's on my office wall here. I have, there's a company called Nerdwood. I don't know if I'd name my company that, but they called it that. And I bought a Never Tell Me the Odds plaque. It's really cool. It hangs in my office wall now. So I've always loved that one just in terms of an inspirational one. And it's almost a kick in my pants because I'm not necessarily the biggest risk taker. But I've always looked up to Han. I've always liked Han. I've tried to learn lessons from Han where he fails in life. So I'll never tell him the odds. It is. It's poster worthy indeed. So I'll start with that one there.
Okay, yeah, no, I think that's a great one. And that's just a great quote, right, for just like that kind of sums up the spirit of Han Solo. Yeah, I think for me, I did a similar thing. There's only one idea I have that is from the prequels, and I had to include it because it's an honest one that goes through my head often. Almost all of them are Yoda, to be perfectly honest, because they're some of them I'll say jokingly, like my friends and I, when we used to play Super Smash all the time, whenever we beat one another, we'd say all too easy, particularly if it had taken a long time. But I think things that give me comfort that are like, sometimes I think about the depth of them, but sometimes it really is just about kind of the rhythm. Yoda saying that is the way of things, the way of the Force. That's something I just kind of mumble to myself or think in my head when it's like, well, you know, just some things you just got to accept the way they are. Always in motion is the future comes up a lot for me as well, because I am just thinking about that. You don't know what's going to come next. And, you know, sometimes people want to know an answer right now. And that is always what comes to my mind of always in motion is the future. We don't know that answer yet, but we will eventually. And then for me, the big prequels one is not a great and meaningful one. It's just the rhythm of it. It's not something that I take to heart because it's an awful thing. It is when Sidious says to Vader, the newly anointed Vader, when he's telling him to go to the Jedi Temple and wipe everyone out, he says, do what must be done. And I think of that every, like, often when I'm getting ready to, you know, go out in the world and I'm stressed about something or I don't want to do something, it kind of makes me laugh and it kind of gives me comfort. And sometimes I don't even realize I'm thinking it level thing of like, you know, okay, I got to get gas. I got to get groceries. I got to go pick this up. I got to do what must be done. It just lives with me. It's not an inspiring phrase. It's just the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, if I was to go to some of the prequel ones, because again, those have been around long enough to where they're kind of in your life too, for most half of my life, at least. Yeah. So like henceforth, it's just one of my favorite ones. So I think you and I could pull Palpatine quotes for days.
Yes.
Some of the other ones that I was going to list again, I kept to the original trilogy to go back. I love this one, but I got this one. It's not like a quotable quote, but I just love it. I love what it means. And it's kind of a just love in real life for me. And it's Leia going, you do have your moments. Not many of them. You do have them. And Han's reaction, I'm just kind of like, well, yeah, you just kind of, yeah. I don't know. Again, I am a Han guy. And so I see that moment. I'm like, yeah, I mess up more than I succeed, but I have my moments. So I'll use that one. And then, there's two silly ones, and I'll come back to one that is that's taken on depth over the years. I think I've told this story before, so I won't rehash too much. But I love Luke looking at Jabba as he's being shuffled out of the Jabba's palace there, going, "That's the last mistake you'll ever make." I've said that far too many times in my life, and I mean it's like a good inside joke with some of my friends. And this one actually just came up. I was doing my Lego build stream this weekend and someone said it in chat. I said it and we had a moment of, he was like, I thought I was the only one who like really pulled that out. And I was like, there's the power of Star Wars, a shared unique journey. I love the Ewok quote of that guy's wise. It's just, and I was saying like, if that came out today, or like you and I've talked about, if you watch Return of the Jedi at just the right age, you probably didn't like it as much. I know you've discussed that a lot, Joseph. And I was at the perfect age where that just was, yeah, that was a great quote. And that guy is wise.
Yes, definitely. That line would have been too cute for many people back in the day. But you know, totally that good guy is wise.
Yeah, he is. And then the final one for me. So this one, I can't lie and say this is, you know, this influenced me in the 80s and 90s. The Dagobah stuff in Empire, you're going to get a ton of great things. You've mentioned some moments there too, but I love the Luke asking what's in there as he goes in the cave and Yoda saying only what you take with you. I think it's, and I remember tweeting that out the day I saw Rise of Skywalker. I just tweeted that out. And I just was kind of like, when you go in there, what are you going to take with you? Focus determines reality. All these other quotes. And that one has grown for me just a lot of places outside of just fandom or watching movies in Star Wars, just any situation. You are taking a lot into it and just be aware of that, you know, just be aware of all that stuff. So I love that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that whole scene is so powerful and that line sums it up so well, but it is a fun thing to almost visualize of like, when I go in to see a movie, mm-hmm. am I opening myself to the story that's being presented, or am I literally strapping on a belt full of weapons?
Yeah.
As I go to sit down at this movie, is my blaster ready? Is my hand twitching over my blaster for what the film did wrong? You know?
Yeah.
It is a great way to look at that. A couple more for me. One is kind of jokey, and it was definitely in my sort of teens and 20s when I was really watching the original trilogy a lot. I really like Han's response to Lando on Cloud City when Lando's like, they arrived right before you did, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Han says, I'm sorry too.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was that desire in me always to want to feel a little cool, but especially as a young person to want to feel cool. And that seemed like such a cool way to express that you were in pain. And I remember having like a moment where, you know, I had a breakup thing and it had become clear in at a public event that something was not going well and other people around me understood like, oh, that interaction that we all just saw in public, that was probably not great for Joseph. And one of my friends said, I'm sorry. And I was like, yeah, the moment's finally come. And I was like, I'm sorry too. Like, I waited and held on to it to find the right moment where I could handle pain in a cool way like Han Solo. And it made me feel a little bit better in that moment. Wow. Last one for me is Yoda's. I think I always liked it. I like the rhythm of it. I like the emotion of it. But it has become more important as time has gone on, of when Luke is asking him how he'll possibly know the good side from the dark side. And Yoda's delivery of, you will know when you're calm, at peace, passive. It's such a great balm. You know, it is such great, straightforward wisdom that can be extremely hard to master when you're upset, when you're angry, to just try to take that deep breath and try to see it, see the situation you're dealing with more clearly, and really make your choices from that place of calmness.
Right. That's great.
Very, very hard to do. I've failed at it recently, so it's good to have that quote running through my mind.
There you go. Yoda, I think it's fair to say that guy's wise.
That guy is wise. No doubt about it. And it is not the last mistake I'll ever make. I will make that mistake again. You had one more, right?
No, that's what the Yoda one. I mean, I could probably
the Yoda one. Yes.
Yeah. You know, then we get into all the weird Star Wars quotes that work for other situations. You know, look at the size of that thing. All those kind of
yes. Yes. Absolutely. They came from behind. Yes. Yes. Endless possibilities there that have been explored in
many
comedy sketches. And you and I could do 8 hours of deep Star Wars quotes. But this is such a great question, Gareth. And I love that. The ones that have stuck with you since you were on the playground till today. We're going to move on to a question from Dr. Addy. Doctor says, with Project Blacksaber listed off in Rogue One, are we to assume that Moff Gideon was after it for a while now, or was someone else after the Darksaber and Gideon just inherited the obsession, like Qui-Gon and the Prophecy? Interested in your thoughts, but this is now my headcanon. It's a great question, Dr. Addy. Ken, I want to start off by, I tend to think the Blacksaber and the Darksaber are two different things, but I don't think that's confirmed anywhere, so there is room to dream. There's room for headcanon. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've always, I mean, that clearly was a correct question to ask when that movie came out. I was like, is that? And I don't know if there is an answer. I kind of don't want it now, because I like living in this kind of headcanon world on this. In fact, that entire list, when you and I did the deep dive into Rogue One, you know, I had a lot of fun just kind of listening to the names again of, like, because one of them, some of it doesn't factor back in The Last Jedi with some of the technology, but I don't know. So I kind of like this idea. I kind of like it, whether Black Saber is there or not. I think just in general for Moff Gideon, I can get behind the idea that he knows about it. He hears about it. You know, he's working in Imperial security, and this is some information he has. And then once he maybe has some power, maybe he feels he wants it. And if he had something to do with the Purge of Mandalore, you know, maybe that's where he came face to face with it. So I'm kind of with Dr. Addy on the headcanon of, at least this is how Moff Gideon began to pursue that, just an obsession, whether or not it came from that project or not. But I do like the idea of that being the same thing, whether or not I truly believe that or not, maybe up for debate, but I can get behind that.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement about the Gideon side of it and his obsession. There's something about that just makes sense. I feel like that is the kind of tip of the iceberg story that they are telling in The Mandalorian. You know, I think Gideon was absolutely involved in the great purge of pacifying, defeating Mandalore, and I think the Darksaber is a symbol of that, right? Of, like, is this the ultimate symbol of your leadership, of your strength, your combination of your warrior history and your nobility? This is the ultimate symbol of that, of this is, you know, what your leader must wield, and then I'll take that from you. And I think, you know, there is still some canon confusion around exactly when did the Great Purge happen. Are there two Great Purges? I still think that there is, you know, a story really to be had from that moment later on in Rebels, when Bo-Katan has the Darksaber, accepts it from Sabine, right?
Yeah.
And is poised to resist the Empire. To me, I think that's where it makes sense that Gideon really comes into the story, of that Bo-Katan leads some sort of bigger resistance around that general time, and the Empire puts it down harshly, including, you know, devastating the actual planet. And, you know, that Gideon you know, takes the Darksaber from her in combat. And that's so central, I think, to what we're left with at the end of Mandalorian season two. I kind of think we will see or hear that story specifically of Gideon getting his hands on the Darksaber, because it's where the storytelling left off with Din and Bo-Katan.
Totally makes sense.
So this is one of those fun ones for me that I think is kind of like some of those Gideon obsession with the Darksaber details are fun headcanon now, but I really do think, unlike some of the headcanon we chase, this is a headcanon that will become screen canon, you know? And that whole list in Rogue One, I tend to think Black Saber is something different than Darksaber for myself, but it's really fun to guess what that is. If that's like, is that some sort of synthetic kyber crystal construction? Is that some, you know, who knows what that is? It's a planet that fires large lightsabers through the galaxy instead of lasers. It fires giant lightsabers. Who knows? Probably not that, but it's really exciting to brainstorm on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that? Great question.
No, other one. That's, I love living in that headcanon world, like I said, but I'm excited to see how Mandalorian answers some of those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go to questions from our patrons on Patreon. First one comes from Kyle Barrett. Kyle says, the rematch of the century. That's how Kathleen Kennedy has described the upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which seems to imply that Kenobi and Vader will duel once again. If this is the case, where would you like to see this battle take place? A rematch on Mustafar, a duel at the former Jedi Temple on Coruscant, or a location that's completely new? I asked the wonderful Alex and Molly of Star Wars Explained this question, and they suggested Naboo because of both characters' history there. I've always felt the hellscape of Mustafar represented Anakin's embrace of the dark side and the intense boiling emotions of both combatants. So what location could represent the headspace Vader and Obi-Wan have at the time of the rematch? This is great to get a absolutely great question, a thoughtful question, and one that already comes with its own great answer from Alex and Molly, because Naboo is a great answer. Ken, where do you go with this?
Well, first of all, Kyle, this is a great question because it's also very fun, and it's gets you kind of thinking about what's coming. It gets me excited for what's coming. I also, because my defensive kind of go up when I hear this, because I think off podcast time, not between you and I, but like in the real world, when this show comes up or the idea of even the movie back in the day of him facing Vader, I've been defending this idea for so long. I've become a little battle worn.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Where I was like, oh God, it's a rematch. So I love, Kyle, that you've asked this really fun question. Mustafar makes a lot of sense for me. I mean, also Vader's got an office there, you know, he's hanging out. There's a lot of different areas of Mustafar that we could see and explore. It makes sense that it's not Tatooine. So that history there, Naboo is a great answer. Alex Amali submitted a nice one there. I honestly kind of want something brand new. I don't necessarily know why. I could have fun. It could be almost anywhere. I could. Planet recognition is very fun. Could it be Ilum while it's a transition is going on, while the Empire is kind of moving in there? Could it be the remains of Jeddah? You'd have to. Yeah, no, Jeddah. No, it wouldn't be the remains. What am I saying? Yeah, what am I saying? I got the timeline messed up. It could be something like Jeddah. It could be something steeped in the Force, or could be just somewhere else. I was even thinking, you know, Takadana.
Oh, yeah.
Obi-Wan's got having a drink. I sense something. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Vader's there having a drink and it's like, I sense something. And then later on, Rick gets to reference that again, A New Hope. So
I like the rematch. The idea that the rematch is a drinking contest would really shock everyone.
It's the opening of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Marion Ravenwood. For some reason, I got to tell you, I'm a little open to something new in this particular moment. Just a new spot, a new battle, and bringing new meaning to an old fight. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get something that we're familiar with. We're getting another story, getting the emotions behind it, getting this new chapter of their relationship. So put it somewhere new to balance all that out.
Yeah, I think these are a lot of great thoughts. I got some similar thoughts, maybe some different spins, but I think with the ongoing discussion about the rematch of the century, and you know, people being unsure about that, you know, concerns that it's not going to feel new, or will feel like a retread. You know, I'm really interested to see what the actual combat is. But what I love about Kyle's question is it really gets to what I'm excited about. Is I'm excited about the emotional rematch. You know, I'm excited about the possibility we'll see if it plays out that Obi-Wan feels like I left this unresolved. I can try to save him. And if not, and if I fail, then it's my duty to stop him. But I didn't do either last time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so coming from that emotional perspective and knowing that he can't succeed at either canonically, right. You know, but has to somehow come to some peace. And I love that Kyle is asking what physical place represents that. Naboo, I think, is a great answer. But even if it isn't Naboo, I like the possibility of it being somewhere beautiful and peaceful, because I think it's got it should pull on Vader or mm-hmm. Anakin, rather, mm-hmm. you know, in contrast to Mustafar.
Yeah,
I could see Mortis coming up, but I just kind of don't feel like that doesn't feel like the mood of this to go that mystical. Another place that occurred to me in terms of somewhere new is, you know, a plundered Jedi temple, something that represents kind of what they both were, but is, you know, falling apart and in disrepair, but is still, you know, retains some of its essential essence, you know, and
right.
just visually, if it was a Jedi temple on a beautiful planet that was half in glorious sunshine and half in, you know, horrific shadows, you know, something like that, it would maybe be a little on the nose, but would get to that, like, right. the place representing the possibilities. I thought about Ilum as well, partially just because what is a known place that has some of that history, and mm-hmm. that's interesting to me. I wouldn't put money on Ilum, but what's yeah. interesting to me about it is the idea of a you know, arguably beautiful organic place that has the beginning of being molded into a weapon, right?
Yeah.
So even if it wasn't Ilum, if it was some other planet that was just gorgeous, but was in the midst of being perverted by some imperial machinery, that would really, really make sense to me. And I kind of lean towards something like that, something that's in a halfway state, either a plundered Jedi temple or a half-constructed imperial horror show.
Yeah, a dance with the past and a fight for the future.
Yeah, but I think my biggest prediction, Ken, is that it is going to be somewhere new. I am developing more and more wild headcanon that I really think with casting Hayden Christensen that there is going to be some sort of flashback to a moment or a story between Obi-Wan and Anakin that we haven't seen before,
right.
and something that's kind of new and fresh from the audience perspective. That can be a part of symbolically the argument that Kenobi makes to Anakin to right. try to bring him back, a specific moment. And I'm still kind of wondering if we might get the story of Anakin making the Skywalker family blade.
Yeah.
And, you know, how powerful would that be if Obi-Wan tries to offer him the blade that he ends up giving Luke? And because of the flashback that we've seen, because of whatever Anakin went through when he made that blade, that the Skywalker blade has some, you know, specific attachment to a moment between Obi-Wan and Anakin that we don't know. That could be kind of powerful. And depending on what, that's just kind of wild headcanon sure. That could be totally wrong, probably totally wrong. But whatever the mechanics of how is Obi-Wan trying to get through to Anakin, I think the place of the actual fight will be relevant to that.
Mm-hmm. In terms of just the story machine, the story engine, or just obviously thematically as well. But
yeah, thematically and maybe the actual story engine, right? You know, sure. And I think there's a lot of practical fun things to consider. If it really is Obi-Wan has visions, he realizes he needs to get through to Vader. Mm-hmm. Where is he going to find Vader where he can have a conversation without being shot at by 1,000 stormtroopers, you know?
Yeah. 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 Maybe in his office. I don't know.
maybe at his house on Mustafar. Maybe all that is the answer is just Mustafar. Who knows? I don't know. I love thinking about this one, coming up with headcanon for this one, because I think it's going to be just a truly great, amazing event. And really be able to weave some new ideas onto some characters that we know really well. So super exciting. Thank you for that question, Kyle. We will move on to our final question from Brendan Bozarth. Brendan says, last time I asked you a what if about if Vader could see Kylo Ren and how he'd feel about him. This time, let's do the same, but with the light side. Imagine how proud Padme would be if she were able to see and learn everything her children would go on to accomplish in their lives. What a happy question to end on. Ken, what do you got for this? What do you picture or think of when you imagine Padme knowing everything that Luke and Leia accomplished?
Yeah, and taking it all the way out to the end, right? I think at some point, like, pride, obviously, you know, hey, maybe, you know, job well done type of thoughts for Padme. But I also went to this, you know, idea, again, you and I were just watching some of the Clone Wars stuff where Padme's on Alderaan and she is happy but a little sad, which is ties into what Leia had and says in Return of the Jedi. So if at any point, it maybe doesn't have to be all the way at the end post Rise of Skywalker, but if this, you know, the spirit of Padme at some point kind of sees what's going on, maybe, you know, sees how they toppled the Empire, toppled Palpatine, Anakin is reborn in a way, all those kind of things. If just Padme's spirit finally goes to rest, finally says, all the things I fought for, all the things I wanted to accomplish, all the things I believe that they're still good in them. My children completed that mission, completed my mission, and I can rest now. I see that more than the pride stuff there too. Simple and, you know, hip hip hooray, my kids are great. But I just see that spirit, that spirit of Padme, which was broken, you know, and torn apart. Seeing it finally getting rest.
Yeah, yeah. To see her children not just save Anakin, but really mend her broken heart as well, is that's really beautiful. Yeah, I was thinking about that recent Clone Wars episode we watched, too, where she's on Alderaan and it attaches to that great Leia moment in Return of the Jedi. But, you know, she's giving that fiery speech, too, about standing up to fear and the people who want to trick us into fear. And she's facing being, assassinated or an attempted assassination again. She's got that great line, I'm paraphrasing, about, you know, Padme says, if my voice is silenced, a million voices rise up in my place, which is just, you know, this great, like, Padme predicting the rebellion without knowing she's doing that, but also knowing that, you know, her children are some of those voices is really, really powerful. And I think if she were able to, like, really see all of the ups and downs of their lives and the accomplishments, Luke and Leia are almost like these great equal sides of Padme. You know, there's a part of Padme that's like the resilient fighter who's like, well, if I have to get the blaster out, I will, yeah. You know? And then there is the part of Padme who always wants to lead with diplomacy, always wants to negotiate, the kind, hopeful optimist. And I think, you know, in the journeys in their lives, Luke and Leia are both at different times, but Leia is a lot of the resilient fighter. I'll get the blaster out because I have to. Right. And Luke is often the kind, hopeful, you know, optimist. I think if Leia was watching, or if Padme was watching them, you know, I think she'd really be pulling for Leia to balance her duties with her heart, since mm-hmm. that's something that Padme went through as well. So yeah. I imagine Padme just being like so happy when Leia just truly falls in love with Han and truly lets herself be in love with Han. You know, I think that's a moment of pride for Padme. And I think when she's watching Luke, you know, she'd be so happy that he's such a, you know, kind a kid when we meet him. And, you know, I really imagine Padme pulling for him to not lose that kindness as he becomes a warrior, and particularly going through that journey, going, you know, just don't stop being that kind person you are. Just what massive pride Padme must have as Luke throws down the blade, right? That ultimate moment where he chooses not to be a warrior. That's you were touching on this. That's got to be, in some ways, the ultimate moment of pride for Padme when it comes to Luke.
Yeah, indeed. And that's just original trilogy stuff.
Yeah, we're not even getting into the sequel trilogy. We don't even have time for that. We'll do that another episode. But yeah. Great question, Brendan. We journeyed to the dark side, what if, and now we have journeyed into the light, what if. Great question, Brendan, Kyle, and Dr. Addy, and of course, Gareth Vader. Those are our questions, Ken.
Those are our questions, and that is the end of our episode. We want to tell you where you can find us. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can also go to Instagram or YouTube. I've been having fun putting up some episodes on rebroadcast up there, so check those out. Facebook pages, Force Center Podcast, podcasts available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Spotify, among others. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/4center and patreon.com/4center is where you can support us directly. You can follow me at Ked Knapsack or go to my website, kednapsack.com. Joseph, where can they go for you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures, comedy albums, my other podcast, Obsessed, all sorts of great stuff like that.
Great stuff indeed. Well, that is our episode for today. For Center 314, 315, we're going to look back at Star Wars, Clone Wars, the micro series. Get ready for that. We'll see y'all soon here on For Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.